allegiance.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you. Okay, let the record show that this meeting has been properly advertised and that there is a quorum. All Planning Commission members are in attendance. This is a public hearing of the Dewey Beach Planning Commission. The purpose of this meeting is to review Chapter 185 Zoning, Section 27, and Chapter 185, Section 27.1 Displays of the Municipal Code of the Town of Dewey Beach, Delaware. Materials for the agenda at the back of the room are the agenda, proposed amendments to the displays, and proposed amendments in the definitions. Also are the minutes of our May 17th CMB Level Rise meeting and the minutes of the June 7th meeting regarding microbreweries. We need to first approve the minutes, 2 minutes of the last two meetings, May 17th. Of course, the only thing I see right off the top is that the both drafts are dated May 17th, and the one that has June 10th up in the corner, that date should actually be June 7th.
And that was actually corrected when before it got posted on the website.
Anybody have any questions or concerns regarding the either set of the draft minutes?
I think in light of the fact I wasn't here for either meeting, that I should abstain.
I move we accept them as written without one minor change, which has already been made.
Okay.
I'll second that.
All right. It's been moved and seconded to approve both sets of minutes. All in favor, signify by saying aye.
Aye. Aye.
Thank you. The commissioners have asked the Planning Commission to review proposed changes in Chapter 185.27.1 as a process towards settlement of a civil action brought against the town of Dewey Beach by Jason Fruchtman, owner of Jeremitis. This review and the recommendations we make to modify this section of the code are intended to make it easier for the town to enforce the sign and display ordinance. I'd like everyone to be advised that we will not be discussing the settlement, only the proposed changes to the ordinance. I'd like to begin by asking Co-Chair David King, who's been working with the town insurance attorney, Megan, and I forget her last name, but they've been working on the outline changes, and I'd like to hear, let David tell us how we got to this point.
So some of these changes had to do with simplifying enforcement, unifying enforcement, and some, as you said, had to do with finding a path forward on the lawsuit that would result in a display ordinance that was acceptable both to the town and to Mr. Fruchtman. And the changes that were in the document before us don't represent all the changes that were discussed at those meetings, in particular with Mark and with the attorney, Megan. But they were to clarify some of the issues, and they were to... one of the big points was to deal with the ambiguity in what it means to have displays not higher than 12 feet, and whether that dealt with armatures or ropes used to hang the materials, so that was one thing. A second issue had to do with whether or not corner properties could count as their area suitable for displays, the front and side, or whether it had to be limited to one or the other, and whether or not the displays could be on the front or the side. And there were a couple of other changes that I said didn't get incorporated into the draft before us, but that were determined by this meeting to either be requested by the Mr. Fruchtman or requested by Mark, the town manager, to facilitate. And those had to do with eliminating any reference to outdoor display permits or permit application process, since the town doesn't currently use a permit application for outdoor displays. As I said, clarification of the what it meant to hang displays no more than 12 feet above the ground. To include in the ordinance a clause that basically a violations and penalty clause that says if anybody who violates the display ordinance is committing a civil violation, and according to Chapter 80 of the town code. So it references back, which is in a lot of ordinance language that we have. And a request that we modify the language which currently says if you have an outdoor display, you can't have a sandwich board. And it just seemed to all of us that a sandwich board is pretty much the same thing as an outdoor display. And so if you have a sandwich board, interestingly, the sandwich board doesn't count against your signage limitations. And so we just thought that you could have a sandwich board and an outdoor display, but that the sandwich board would count towards your display square footage, if that's clear. So I think that's basically how we got to where we are. I have a few other kind of editorial comments that I would like to make and some other changes that I would like to introduce. Having struggled to understand how the language here impacts many of the other business owners in town, many of whom I believe are in violation of, at least my interpretation of the code is that they are in violation of the existing code if one reads the code literally. And I think we should, if we're going to amend this section of code, that we should amend it in a way that it's very clear that businesses can continue operating the way that they're operating in terms of displays.
Okay. You want to go over those points that you were want to make? Because I have a couple myself. See where.
Well, do you want to go first?
Yeah. Well, you know what jumped out at me in reading the 185.27.1 proposed amendments to the display ordinance. A couple things. First of all, the question: do we want to have signs above 12 feet? Do we want to have signs that are allowed to advertise a business that's on the ground floor, on the second or third floor? I imagine that maybe a little bit of discussion on that wouldn't be bad. I know one of the the issues is with banners, you know, affixed to railings. And the only thing I see in the ordinance, and the only thing I have been able to find in this entire sign ordinance, is reference to where the sign is allowed in the NRRR and PR districts, where they're discussing real estate advertising signage. I don't see that anywhere. That's the only part that I see about the height of the sign. And then again, over on 185.32G, where it's stating about the signs on the roof, but the signs can't be any higher than 35 feet. So if you read that, then it would seem like you are allowed to have a sign anywhere except for higher than 35 feet. It can't be any higher than 35 feet. It can be on the roof. It can be anywhere on the building. Is that what we want? Just the question.
Personally, I don't think that's what I would want. Mm-hmm. I would rather leave it to the 12-foot and include banners, flags, and flashing signs at that level as signs that cannot be go above the 12-foot.
I wonder if that originally was worded as 35 feet, considering billboards. I wonder if that's why it was written that way.
I
would agree with Jim. I think we'll stick to the bottom 12 feet. I don't think we need signage all the way up and down the sides of the building.
So we do have a number of businesses that do have signage above 12 feet.
Mm-hmm. And what are some of them?
The Exxon Station. Gary's, Scully's,
some of the motels.
All of the motels.
All of the motels.
Ruttertown has signage. I mean, it's, I guess it's a non-conforming, it's approved as a non-conforming sign, but I mean, they do have signage above 12 feet.
I think I have less problems with commercial has signs above 12 feet and more problems with a residential commercial mixed use with using the residential top two floors for their signage. That, I don't know, that bothers me a little bit.
Well, the purpose here is for regulation of size and placement of temporary signs, banners, flags, and products. In other words, the permanent signs are covered somewhere else, and maybe they're covered under a special permit process, I'm not sure, but I think when we went through this, or when we go through this, we're looking at the stuff that's put out in the morning and taken out in the afternoon, or if the storm's coming, they take it in because it's that portable. But the permanent motel signs and stuff are regulated somewhere else, or they're not regulated, because mm-hmm. they're not regulated, I don't think, by this display ordinance.
Well, yeah, I can see that, but I thought we wanted to, may want to incorporate it in. I mean, it's just on the next page, you know.
Yeah, okay, and at that point, then we'd have to, we could do that, but it would be a little more expensive than just these temporary displays, which...
I mean, I don't feel strongly enough about it. I just wanted to ask the question to see if anyone...
Yeah. I think we can help ourselves by making that distinction. I think the permanent signs are either regulated somewhere else, and I'm not aware of what that is, but I do know that these temporary signs, banners, flags, products, and goods and wares are the issue with a number of our examination of these shops and citing them for violations and then their complaints about those sightings. I think that's where the issue is the temporary signs, banners, and products, I think. Let me put it this way, that I'm aware of and that's been an issue for the last couple of years. There might be issues with the permanent signs, but that's another subject.
Okay, so you'd like to just reel it in and stick with what we've been assigned.
Right, because I think maybe a good way to look at it, anything that's not brought in with an imminent storm coming is then a permanent sign. Everything else that comes in is the kind of thing that the issues are.
That's a good way to look at it.
So, Harry, your point kind of seems to be that 185.27.1a says regulations for the size and placement of the outdoor display of temporary signs, banners, flags, products, goods, wares, merchandise, and that in the definitions, that outdoor displays. Of merchandise, at least, are regulated by this 12-foot limit, and you would like to extend that to all of the other things.
I'm not sure if I would. I just wanted to bring that up for discussion. Yeah. I'm not 100% certain that that's the way I want to go, but I thought we'd... I mean, I know that our building official has, I mean, Bill, if you don't mind, let me bring you in on this. What is your take on it? I mean, you, well, you've told me to take a banner down on the second floor before.
Well, it's in residential, mixed use is what you brought up. Mm-hmm. And that's a big issue here with mixed use, where people have put signs above the commercial in the residential area that have, you know, either advertising something or for sale, because it says right in the for residential and real estate signs are not permitted over the first floor area. And that's where, you know, you had your banner for the real estate for sale.
Right. So
that's
if I
strictly real estate.
Okay, so if I had a banner, I mean, we'll use my building for example. If we had a banner up there that said Favela's Beach Things has a big sale on this weekend.
Technically, that's illegal because it's not the business, it's the residential section of the mixed use.
Where does it say that in the code?
Well, that's what I'm saying. When you, it's said right now, it's strictly for realtors, it's for sale.
Okay.
But to me, when you see a sign up on a residential area in a mixed use, that's advertising the commercial underneath.
I would agree.
Yeah, that's one of the things when I read these that I highlighted as my question was going to be tonight. Are you proposing in the ratio of how much square footage will be allowed? Is it just for the business section of that building? Because you, you know, you have a business residential or business residential. Or should it be specifically worded, it's just the business square footage of that building, so that you don't have this argument later on in time? And while we're talking about permanent signs, maybe I could just give some of my background knowledge on that, different areas. When a permanent sign is erected, it's erected for two or three good reasons, to advertise the business, but also to give the person who's looking for that destination enough time to see that sign, that business, to get into the right traffic lane they're in or whatever, to pull off safely. A lot of times on major highways, people will be out of town and they know they're going to stay at a hotel or they're going to get gas. They don't see that sign clear enough, far enough ahead, they'll make a dangerous move. And that's a permanent sign. That's something, you know, that's there permanently. And a lot of different boards have recognized that and said, okay, you know, as long as you're not obstructing a view down the road or causing a height problem or something that's obnoxious, we want the potential patron to see where you are so they have time to get into the right lane or get to you. It's a permanent fixture, not a display. Mm-hmm. So when you think about sign heights, you know, kind of keep that in mind. You want that driver to see where they're going well ahead of time, so they can get to it. But I was concerned about the business end of the display too. What's this trying to allow? Just the business section of the building, or the whole building, or the whole property? I couldn't really understand here if it meant the whole property or just the business. And
well, I don't believe that we should be in a residential commercial mixed use building that the advertisement for the first floor commercial needs to be affixed to the second or third floor residential section.
So I think I would be quite happy to take a position that this gets amended so that commercial advertising displays, banners, whatever associated with a business can't be affixed or in front of residential use. I mean, I'd have to think about exactly how to phrase that language, you know, fixed versus in front of versus. So that nobody goes around sticking business use stuff in front of residential use parts of a building.
Yeah, and I think it has to be part of your section 3A where you determine the maximum permissible area so that it's clear that that permissible area is only part of the business use itself. Because that be...
If we go with what is being suggested, then in 185.27.1b, we could, when we say subject property, we could make it very clear on outdoor displays that it's subject business property. Mm-hmm. Because everybody, they get a business license to operate. And you get a separate license for rental properties. So if you put business property in it, it makes it clear that it's strictly for businesses in this particular aspect. And then it would limit it to displays it only in that area that occupies the business area. I think it'd be an easy fix, quite frankly.
But as David mentioned, there's lots of properties here in Dewey Beach, the mixed-use properties that I'm thinking of right now that are doing that would be Gary's, and it also would be, what's that called, Ocean Winds, where the Thai food place is. You know, that's those things are they attached to the railings up there or just in front of the railings of the second floor?
In front of the railing, but they're like in the 12-foot area that, you know, people did interpret a display or signage.
So we'd have to grandfather.
They're not attached to the rail.
Okay.
They're like attached to the top of that first floor area. Mm-hmm.
So when the town issues a permit, Bill, correct me if I'm wrong, but if it's a second floor business, I mean, we must give licenses if there's two businesses, we would give a license. So it seems to me we could allow something on the second floor.
Well, I would think if
it's a business.
Yeah. I mean, like the new Hyatt. I mean, they have their signs that are way up there.
And control a fixed sign.
Well, yeah.
But that's a whole different issue. But on temporary displays...
But I don't know of any second floor businesses around here. I mean, they don't come to me, you know...
Well, they've got to get a rental license. They've got to get a business license.
Now, I mean, we do have rental businesses that are businesses that give business licenses. And are we going to open the door to a condo on the second floor, say in a Indy Plaza, that's a rental that they can put a sign?
Unless we can do it as a commercial, would that fall under a commercial?
I mean, I think you would have to specify commercial business rather than
and
probably you'd want to do that throughout this whole section.
A commercial business.
I mean, what do people think about people who rent their apartments and things putting?
Well, that's already in there. It's in the.
I guess it's in the in. It's in the well, it's the real estate.
It's in. Well, yeah, a real estate sign. It doesn't mean. I mean, if a individual is renting their home, it's still real estate. I mean.
But they're
not a realtor, but they're
not a realtor or a real estate broker,
but they are engaging in
real estate
business of real estate.
Well,
be it their own.
You could, depending on how the script feels, we could put a clause in there defining what, you know, if you've got a rental property, and specify whether we include it or exclude it.
Okay, so we probably need a pointer here that says if you're a residential rental business, then you have to point to whatever that other section is.
Right. 185. I'll tell you right now.
185.
It's 185.31. Yeah, 185.31, permitted signs in the NRRPR, residential districts.
But not
yeah,
right. RB2.
Not in RB, 2 or 3, yeah. Okay.
Well, we can incorporate that here as well, that, I mean, if that is the wish to apply those same regulations to residential rentals in RB1, RB2, and RB3, and
I don't see anything wrong with it. I'm trying to think of what, why that wouldn't work. I'm not, nothing's coming to mind.
Well, you don't want to manipulate, have somebody manipulate that they've got a rental property up there and somehow cross index it with a business downstairs. That's the only thing. You know, if you've got a commercial business down there or a rental property up there, it's the same owner. Could you move the sign up, I guess?
Yeah, well, let's keep in mind that whatever we do here, we're trying to make it easier to enforce, not harder. So let's.
Okay, so.
I think, the Chairman, when you described our task today, it was really to address something that the Commissioners might consider that would help with litigation that might come forward or has already come forward. And as far as I understand, the litigation that we're interested or right now concerned about is for the temporary signage or the temporary banners, signs, flags, and so forth. In other words, stuff that comes in at night. And if we could address that, we'd be successful at doing what we're trying to do here. And all the other stuff with real estate signs and so forth, that might need work, but I don't know if we're even in a position to do anything.
All right. And I'd like to note that one of the stipulations in the settlement is for that Jeremiah's be allowed to keep their banners on the second floor. And I believe that they feel that it's okay because there's nothing in the code now that specifies it. Am I pretty much, is that the way they're feeling?
Where they're coming from as far as, because they don't need to go to real estate.
Right. Okay,
but
so
it's still higher than the 12 feet.
Right.
I mean, if I can interject.
Yeah.
I spent, let's see, 6 months on this when we had a display committee back in 2006, 2007, something like this, when this all started. And the whole problem is that Jeremiah's has so much road frontage that nobody else does. And no one, and all the other people right now are using the percentage that was written in there that they can put their displays. Right now, they're all using that percentage. The thing is, he's using all his front on the side street, which at the time, the side streets were supposed to be eliminated unless it was a different business in those side streets, like in Gary, which you're talking about. There's another business in the side street, and also in your complex, there's three other businesses in the side street. His business wraps all the way around the corner. So the objection is he's using all that area. The other stores are still using their percentage that the code limited them to, and that's where it's all, got to this position. The other stores feel that he's using all his frontage on the side, and still he's using more in the front, in my interpretation, but that's neither here nor there. The other people are trying to abide by what the code says. I mean, that's everyone other than
So, if I hear you correctly, Bill, what you're saying is because he's got corner property, he's using 30% of the front, 30% technically in the back, and you're just saying on the other side of the corner, where the others really just have frontage, and they're limited to 30%,
well,
give or take. I understand that
we can sit here and hash it out for a long while, but.
But that's one of the issues, a corner property taking advantage of both.
Right there.
Okay, gotcha.
The main issue all this has come to.
Well, okay. Let me ask David, what did the attorney recommend regarding the wraparound displays? I mean, that seemed to be an issue in federal court and with the litigant, and Does this change, do these changes address that issue at all?
The ultimate set of changes, and again, we were to go to a situation where if one had a wraparound property, one would be able to use the 30% of the total private property abutting a roadway.
That is a concession or maybe something that would make litigation less likely in the future and maybe address some current litigation.
Right, and but you know, again, Bill and I think disagree somewhat on. I mean, we interpret the code differently in the sense that some of the businesses, the current code. I believe excludes the side street unless it's a separate business.
That's the way it was supposed to pan out. But I don't see it as, I mean, when you read it in there, we can read it that way, but it doesn't spell it out that way.
And the current code also excludes from the calculation of your permissible area property providing direct access to parking lots or parking areas. And there are a number of businesses, 100% of their frontage abuts a parking area. And so those businesses, with a strict reading of the code, cannot use. All of the businesses in Harry's building, for example,
well, that would
be prohibited from having a display because they directly access a parking area.
So you've attempted to correct this.
So,
right?
Right.
Okay, and let's get back to corner properties. If you take the formula of the square footage, if you've got 50-foot frontage on one side and 100 feet on the other, then I mean, let's stretch that out. Let's say, basically, somebody can say, I've got 150-foot frontage, right? So why don't we limit it to, well, for corner properties, to either one or the other, but you can't use both for your square footage?
Well, I think that may be an issue, and I think what I understand that David said is that consultation with Megan Mazzavino says that you've addressed that, and maybe that's resolved in the sense that it does give somebody that has a corner property advantage of their location or advantage of their frontage because they have frontage on two streets, and you know, that might solve some, you know, future or current litigation issues because they do have that advantage. They have a bigger building or they have more frontage, and yeah, they might not want to be restricted to just the Route 1 displays when they have that advantage in their location.
I can definitely see that, but at the same time, 3B, you know, sets us the maximum at 500 square feet, which is that's quite a lot.
Yeah, I mean, I would.
Well,
one of my comments was to reduce that number.
Yeah, so maybe, you know, maybe we want to adjust that to 600 or something, or leave it the way it is.
300.
I think that's where we are.
I would just note that the original version of the display ordinance, incorporated in the 2009 code book, basically only includes business frontage on Coastal Highway. And then that was modified in 2011, 2010 to one or the other, but not the wraparound language. And you know, I don't think. To some extent, I don't think we have it quite right yet, because clearly we can't enforce it. And some people feel that it's open to challenge because it's not clear. And
I mean, I don't have a problem with the wraparound portion of it. I mean, if you, like you said, if you have that, that's your building and you have that advantage, well, then you have that advantage, you know.
Right, and the current ordinance, as I understand it, doesn't give that person that advantage because it's only the frontage suit, about one. And I think if this changes, like David said, address that, I think that's a step in the right direction for what we might consider a more fair and reasonable code. And now whether it stays a limit of 500 feet or square feet or more or less is maybe something we can discuss, but I think that's a significant step in the direction that would make this less susceptible to litigation. And so that would be good. So that sounds good. That's a good step. And I don't know what other steps might have been taken in some of the suggestions that the attorney gave us, but there might be some other things we need to do, but that's certainly something in the right direction.
Well, okay, well, limited to 500 square feet, which is a lot.
Which is a lot. Yeah, I mean, that's...
If you have 50 foot, then technically you can have the whole front with one big sign and a door opening up to your business.
Yeah, I mean, I think 500 square feet is just too much.
I do too.
That's...
I got to ask one question. The way they have things displayed right now at that business, is that in compliance with our current code? Can anyone tell me that?
I don't know. I'm sorry, I didn't hear what you said.
The way they have their set up, their place to set up this sign.
Is that in compliance?
Are they in compliance or not?
The displays are set up.
The displays that are currently set up at the certain business we're talking about, are they in compliance right now or not?
No, which ones are you talking about? Him or
just him?
The one we're talking about. The main problem.
Yeah. No, he's not compliant.
Well, I mean, I think they're all... I've
never been in compliance.
Are we doing anything about it?
We're here tonight.
Yeah, I know, but I mean, I'm just wondering, are we letting him know that he's not in compliance right now?
I've been told to stay away from it.
Okay. I think it looks terrible, that's all.
You know, I don't understand.
I would agree, you know, and I also would agree. I would think that the properties next door, the property values of their neighbors is not what it should be because of him, and I think it's a shame.
You know, I don't understand, but part of this discussion, to me, a display or these signs are temporary. How could they be granted their grandfather status if they are to be removed? Once they're removed, I'm not a lawyer, but once they're removed, and then they have to comply to the code. They're temporary. If, you know, if you have a sign that's been there for years and it's going to stay up there, the Exxon sign, whatever you want to talk about, that's there, it stays there, it doesn't take it down every night or every season at the end of the season. But at the end of the season, when he takes it down, he's done. His temporary status is over. His, you know, why should anyone be allowed to come back the next year and say I'm a grandfather because this is where I had it last year? I don't understand how we can discuss that.
Well, I think in terms of Jeremiah's, the claim is that the two signs he has are permanent signs.
Okay, I'm thinking of the displays he has.
Well, those, right. And the sandwich boards and other things are certainly temporary.
Yeah.
So you're saying that they're saying the banner is permanent? And even though it's a banner material attached to the railing, they're saying it's permanent. Okay.
Or the two signs up there, mm-hmm. as opposed to the bunting. I mean, the bunting might be...
Well, that's just decoration.
It's decoration. So maybe I should go through some of the other things that we discussed that seemed to make sense to change. In section 185.27 definitions, under the definition of banners, to delete the last clause that said and are subject to approval by the town manager or building official. And under sandwich boards, to delete the section, the last sentence that said any business using sandwich board shall not be permitted to have an outdoor display, and replace that with a sentence that said if a business uses both an outdoor display and a sandwich board, the footprint of the sandwich board shall be counted in the calculation of outdoor display area. And in under outdoor displays, to delete the sentence that said any business having an outdoor display shall not be permitted to have a sandwich board. So the effect of those is to say you can have displays and a sandwich board, but the sandwich board counts as part of your display. And then in 185.27.1 displays, under C2, which currently reads, no outdoor display or any part thereof shall be displayed at a height higher than 12 feet from grade, to change that to say, no outdoor display or any part thereof shall extend above a height of 12 feet as measured from grade. Small, you know, just a kind of a small tweak that our lawyer seemed to think clarified the issue. And then to add a section G that says violations and penalties. Any person or entity violating any provision of this section shall have committed a civil offense pursuant to Chapter 80 of the Municipal Code of the Town of Dewey Beach. Each day of a continuing violation shall constitute a separate offense, which is standard in lots of sections of code that kind of says what happens if you are in violation. Did I say that under C? C1 to the second line says, well, it says outdoor display merchandise shall only be permitted on the private property of a business holding an outdoor display permit for such outdoor displays. To delete the holding an outdoor display permit for outdoor displays, because we apparently don't issue permits for outdoor displays, and replace that with holding a valid Dewey Beach business license.
Where are you? Which one are you on?
180.
Yeah, I've got two. Which ones are we working on?
Well, I'm working on the clean copy.
The clean copy, okay. And you're on C1?
C1.
Okay.
Are we working on
No, we're not working on the same thing. I haven't seen that version of yours. That's not what was given to me. This redline version is not what they have. But I'm okay with all those changes that you just said. Yeah, I was trying to follow along, but I didn't have
Which one are you? Are you working on this one?
I'm working on the one that was posted on the website.
Okay, and that's what I'm working on. I took these off the web. No, I took these off the email that was sent to us. Okay. Let me work with you on your document.
These changes are all in the document probably that you sent around.
No, I don't think so. I sent around the redline version of it, and I just discovered for the first time as you were reading it that we're looking at
two different documents.
Okay. Yeah.
Actually, Harry, you also sent the clean version.
Oh, I did. I thought I gave you the 2009 version.
We've got a clean version.
Right, well, maybe I'm the only one who doesn't have the clean version. Sorry.
Okay.
Whatever. We're good.
So those changes seem to be fine with the town manager, fine with the town lawyer, fine with the.
I thought there was an area that we wanted to add on. Public right-of-way or sidewalk, and put public sidewalk for height and area for displays.
Right, and that's C1. To change the second sentence to say, no outdoor display shall encroach or trespass any public right-of-way or insert public sidewalk.
Mm-hmm.
And I would further go on to add, or block any patron access way, and then add handicap ramp or fire exit, which I think are all pretty benign changes. But then it goes on to say, or parking area directly accessible from the business. And I think that this is, for me, is a real issue. Dealing with most of the businesses in town.
All right,
not
it.
Jeremiah's, but
okay.
Most of the other businesses. Because this could be read to say that basically no outdoor display can block a parking area directly accessible from the business.
I don't think that's good, and the reason I don't think that's good is because if a person, number one, most retail stores in Dewey don't need any parking spaces because of the square footage requirements. So if they have parking spaces in front of their building, that's a benefit not only to them but to the neighboring businesses, because people actually, you know, they always use a parking space and go next door or whatever. So that's an asset to the town to have that parking space there. And they shouldn't be penalized for being able for providing that parking space. And not only that, most places that have parking spaces in front of them, actually the displays, if they have them, are further set back from Route 1, which is, a positive thing.
Right.
Following what Harry
what I was going to say is that the current code says, I mean, most of the businesses in Izzy Plaza, for example, couldn't put a display in front of their store.
Well, I have a remedy for that, and I'd like to...
Okay, because I had a remedy for that too.
You've got Izzy Plaza, you've got East of Maui, okay, that has a large outdoor display. You have the stores in the Surfrider condominium that have outdoor displays. Okay, they're all under a roof. They're under the footprint of that building, and I don't think that area should be regulated at all. If you're within the footprint of the building. In other words, if Izzy Plaza decided that they wanted to screen in that front door, that front around all those commercial businesses, if you had to enter into a screened area, they could do that, and that would be their store. So if they're putting a display out there within the footprint of the building, I think we ought to leave it alone. Because it's truly inside their building. Mayor Hansen.
What you're proposing, does that interfere with public access to the building now? I mean, because part of that is like a public walkway. It's where people walk into the businesses. So are you saying we can block all of that?
No, I don't think I don't think it should be blocked or handicap blocked or anything like that. But in looking at the various businesses, like for instance, you know, with East of Maui, they have... It's a large display and it's outdoors. I mean, they just recently put a roof over that. You know, and also, you know, we're talking mainly about retail, but let's also think about the displays that restaurants have. I mean, for instance, the Starboard has displays under their deck. They have signs. They have advertising paraphernalia and things like that that are all out there. In the Surfrider, Woody's has, umbrellas that have logos on them and beer signs and various things that are provided by the liquor salesmen. And these things are within the confines of their business. They're not outside of it. They're inside it and different. So, or you could talk about the facade. Where does the facade begin? Does it begin at that outside porch deck area that where people step into it? Is that the facade, or is the facade inside of that? There's another question.
Well, I think outdoor would include the areas outside the front door that are open to the air, whether they have a roof on them or not. One could exclude, I mean, one of the thoughts that I had was to exclude from the regulation outdoor areas that were covered by a roof, or either a permanent or temporary roof, as you suggested. which would include the tented area that the Starboard now has opened up. That used to be their pepper shop, and it's now, I guess they're selling T-shirts and things. The East of Maui, Fabulous, which has a roof over it. Places, and Izzy Plaza that have roofs over them.
Well, once you have a roof over extending out, whether it's a foot, whether it's 2 foot, 3 foot, that becomes part of the footprint of the building, does it not? Is it, a footprint of a building is not limited just to what is on the ground level, is that right? So the roof line, wherever it would stretch, that is the footprint.
Right.
So I think if you just worded the footprint of the building, as Harry was suggesting, anything that is under that footprint, is pretty well covered. But at the same time, then.
But again, if in terms of Izzy, is in terms of Izzy Plaza, if you go to taking that as the footprint of the building, then there is no private area between the right of way at the sidewalk and the edge of the building, of which they can take 30%.
I'm not following you there.
Why can't they take?
Why can't they? Yeah.
Because currently the code excludes parking lots.
Well, so if you change that.
So you've got to do something with the parking lot issue.
It seems to me we can do something with the parking lot issue and put a qualifier that you can't put a display on the parking lot itself.
Well, they already know that. That would be a temporary.
I'm just saying. Not necessarily. I mean, you could, right now, you can put a display on your parking lot. Where does it say you can't? And secondly, the only concern I've got is if you're going to put a display on the parking lot, and that's included in your requirements to have your business, to have some, for example, if you have over 2,000 square feet, and you start putting displays in the parking area, you're taking away a parking area which infringes on the requirements that the town sets for parking.
But we don't have that problem right now, though, do we?
I don't know that we've got, we've got one problem, one major problem here, and we're trying to address everything, and that's the dilemma we've got. Mm-hmm. So,
I mean, if you expand your premises outside into the parking lot, that is definitely an expansion of premises. There's no doubt about that.
I'm not saying you're expanding your premises. I'm just saying if you put a display sign out there or a temporary display sign, are you expanding your premises?
No, that would be not.
Okay, that's my point. I'm not saying to expand your premises. I'm just saying put displays. Beyond, and I think the answer is, Chuck had a good point. If it's part of your footprint, you can't go past your footprint. And then you have to deal with the 12-foot, whether we want to go with the 12-foot and consistently do that. Otherwise, we're going to be here. You can't come up with enough solutions to solve every little thing that goes on in this town. Let me tell you, everything we've done, somebody's going to find an exclusion.
Right, because there's people out there looking for the loopholes in every way they
possibly
can.
That's exactly right.
Interesting.
If we can solve 80% of the problems, we've done a good job here.
Dave, are you suggesting that they don't need a permit for display signs? Because it's in here that you do? Are you saying change that?
No, we're doing away with that.
We currently, apparently, don't have a permit process. We don't require a permit. We don't issue permits. We don't.
There is something, Bill, correct me if I'm wrong. There is something that we have done. If somebody wants a big banner up, don't they have to get for, let's say, a 2-day banner? I'm going to use a Starboard, for example.
Inflatables or something?
Yeah, when they do a flammable, don't they have a provision where they come out and pay to do it for like 2 days?
Well, when we do
like the cancer benefit.
Yeah, well, he gets, that's a special.
That's a special permit, a special.
But they did away with what Mike was asking when they put up the Captain Morgan thing in front of NADUs and all. They used to have to apply for a permit for that, but that's when they eliminated those permits for those temporary type things for big blow-ups and all.
Okay.
So those are no longer allowed?
Excuse me?
Those are no longer allowed?
I haven't given any permits for them because we didn't want them out there.
Mm-hmm. Can I ask Bill a question? Do you think we should have permits for displays? Or some types? Do you think we should have permits for some types of displays?
Hey, it's a, like Jim just said, you know, we try and fix things and they don't get fixed. That's the problem. And I will be honest with you, this whole display thing, the person that's involved now, we sat through all the meetings, came up with what we're trying to fix now, and said, he doesn't like it, he's going to do what he wants to do, and he's been doing it ever since. So
if he would have had
rest my case.
If he would have had to come in for a permit, you would have authorized him what he was allowed to do, and he would have had to conform to that.
Yeah, he would have, but he won't.
But we're trying to go ahead now with right. any future problems right. and solve his.
Yeah.
Well, I think the Jim talked about the 85% solution. I think the allowing displays on two sides of buildings satisfies that 85% solution. Right. I think that may be 95% of our issue right there.
But Marty, what you're saying, he's still over 500 square feet right. on one side without even wrapping around the building.
Right. Well, then,
there it is.
At that point, I don't know. I mean, the point is that if we're going to say that a person has an advantage by his property and his location, and you're restricting people to 500 square feet, which means that any small business can satisfy that 500 square feet. So a person that has an extensive building doesn't have any advantage. That might be considered discriminatory in courts, in the federal courts, which we are currently in. And it might be the kind of thing that we can address. In other words, maybe that 500 square feet is too small. And
no, do away with the percentage altogether. That people have their outdoor displays, if they have a 25-foot front, a 35-foot front, you know, as long as they're temporary displays and they take them in at nighttime. He does take them in at nighttime. He doesn't leave them out there.
Yeah, because
but I'm just saying, the thing is, you're not going to make everybody happy here if you take, number one, he's not going to abide by any square footage that you come up with. I'm going to tell you that right now. He's not going
to
do it.
Right. I mean, we're not here to placate people, but we are here to look
for
a better solution.
We're fighting this because of him.
Okay, well, having said that, the town is dealing with litigation, and our challenge is to come up with something here.
Right, this is a pathway to get to the... This is something that had to occur in order for whatever, it's probably
whatever
not going to be a settlement, but whatever.
Whatever they're going to do.
Yeah.
I want to go back to your point that if somebody has a corner commercial property, I mean, what the question is, do we penalize somebody because they bought a corner, do we allow a slight advantage because they did do that? I mean, that comes down.
So. Well, in all parts of the zoning code, people in corner properties have an advantage. Residential, commercial.
Okay, so if we limit it to the 500 square feet, or maybe that's not enough, I don't know what's right. I mean,
maybe
it seems to me like
much.
Maybe it's too much. Maybe we go back to 50 foot. Anybody facing 50 foot on one side can only have 300 square feet. If you have both sides, you can have 600 square feet. I mean, you can come up with different formulas.
Well, most businesses in town probably have less. I mean, if it's a 50 foot lot and a 6 foot setback,
okay, so let's
they have 300 square feet. 30% is 100 square feet. So,
go away with the percentage.
All right, now, the perfect example, the store next to him is owning a 30-foot front store. Because he's got two 15-foot frontage there. Two stores together. He rents
and is he 6 feet deep?
Excuse me?
Is the front setback 6 feet on him?
Yeah, they're 6 feet.
So, he basically...
No, actually, he's more than 6 feet there. He's probably about eight. He's back farther than what... is required. That one complex right there is. Sun Medicine is just at the sidewalk in front of their place, but their business is 52 feet long. There's the three stores there. If you got Babalus, I think he's only like
17 feet.
The Exxon Station, He's a wraparound, but he only uses that small section right there and his garage frontage to pull his little carts out. The what you're talking about with Nalu or East of Maui, he's got the porch that he takes all his stuff in nighttime. I'm trying to think of who else. They're all the other people are going now, basically. That's all we have left that have out there for displays, except for in Izzy Plaza, there's somebody in there that puts out t-shirts in there. And Monty does in Izzy Plaza on the corner store.
And Monty now does on
the... And then he has the other one, the corner little store there on the starboard property. But other than that, we have... Well, you talked about the boats and stuff like that in front of the Ocean Winds shopping center there. They use that sometimes to display jet skis and stuff like that in the wintertime, but not the summer. They don't take up the parking. But other than that, that's all the outdoor display places that we have.
Well, let me make a suggestion. If we were to eliminate the 500 square feet and just say that it's... based on your frontage on your Route 1 and any side street, and maybe a fraction of that, if it's 80% or 50%. But what it would do is that if you have a small square foot, if you have a 30-foot wide building, then you're limited to, by 12 feet, you're limited to 360 square feet. That's under 500 feet. But if you have 150 square feet of frontage, then you in fact have a... You could have a wraparound display that's significantly larger than 500 square feet. And it seems to me that that really compensates or considers the fact that a person by owning a certain property may in fact have a commercial advantage that this kind of adjustment would accommodate properly.
So what if we follow Bill's lead and just get rid of the percentages, get rid of the area, both the 2009 and the 2010 versions had 500 square feet as a limit, just limit it to 500 square feet, period, that's it. That's the only restriction on...
Well, then you have a person that has 100 square feet of frontage, complaining that they don't have they're not able to take advantage of their select property that they have. In other words, if they're limited to 500 square feet, that's what somebody with 30-foot frontage is allowed.
Well, Marty's point, I think, is probably well taken, because if you look at the Ruttertown complex and you look at what Hyatt eventually is going to put up there, I mean, they may have put a sign, you know, I mean, they've got, what, 300, almost, what, 200 feet frontage. So we're going to limit it to a 500 square foot sign.
No, about the display.
This is outdoor displays and temporary signs.
But this is, I mean, that's the issue that the town is facing, and whether we want to.
Right.
I mean, my recommendation or suggestion to the commissioners here is that in fact we give a person benefit of a favorable real estate situation, and that, you know, we don't limit everybody to 500 square feet, which is... Seems to me that the smallest business that we have here in frontage almost achieves 500 square feet just by the 12-foot height on a 30-foot building, and then the...
No, Marty, it's not the facade of the building, it's
footprint.
It's the footprint of the private space. So it's 30 feet by 8 feet, it's 200, and I mean, this particular case for electric banana is... Yeah, 240 square feet.
Right.
Less.
Right.
Less the doorway.
That's your access.
And that should be the determining value. And the 500 square feet is, if we were to eliminate that as an issue, then people would feel, or people would have again, if they have a real estate advantage, they would be able to enjoy that real estate advantage.
So what if we put no limitations at all, just that one cannot block, impede the safe flow of pedestrians.
Right, exactly. All those safety things are good
things. And then the question is, what do you do with all these stores that have the complexes that have the parking lots? where there's a walk, where there's a sidewalk that is on private property, but is used by pedestrians to go from store to store. So Sun Medicine's one example where, you know, you and I do walk in front of Sun Medicine tonight on the sidewalk, and are you going to permit Sun Medicine to fill up 90% of the sidewalk so that you can walk from the parking lot into their front door, but you can't walk out their front door, down the sidewalk to Nick's? Do you understand what I'm saying, Chuck?
That was exactly my concern.
My question is, as a town, do you really have the right to tell somebody what they can do with their own sidewalk, right?
I mean, let's face it, the example that you're giving, there is a sidewalk out front there. Another sidewalk is along Route 1, so people could walk there. I mean, you know.
That's the public sidewalk. The other sidewalk's on private property.
And you've got no authority to enforce anything there on that private sidewalk, I don't think.
With the exception of safety issues.
I mean, in terms of public safety, I would argue that you do have the rights to regulate the safe flow of pedestrians
on private property,
on that privately owned property that served, that is a public use.
It's really not. I really don't believe it's a public use. It's a private use for those businesses. It may be the public walking on there, but it's owned by that business.
But
it was
permitted. I mean, it was designed for people to walk safely from business to business around that complex.
Have we gotten complaints from business owners complaining about a display in that kind of a situation?
No. Didn't electric
did
start
they?
That?
I don't know. I mean, to the
I've
town.
Never had any complaints like that. No. But I mean, still, like in the Harris complex, underneath of that, area there, you can actually walk from store to store under there, can't you?
Sure.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. You can walk. You can walk from.
So what is the concern on the private property if you do block or partially block the sidewalk? I'm just. What is your concern? What would be the problem if they do?
Well, I mean, the concern was that a child could not walk to Sun Medicine or Dairy Queen without having to go through a parking lot.
Okay. I understand that concern,
and
right?
You're right. That's the way that whole complex was set up, is there, you know, it was set up with the sidewalk so that you could.
I think some of the concern there would be jumping way ahead would be fire marshal too, right? You know, the fire marshal gets concerned about blocked entrances and stuff like that, but you go to the Christiana Mall or any big mall, you know, you've got to hold your kid's hand when you get from the car to the door of that store. And, you know, they try to provide safety for their customers, but you're still in a somewhat precarious situation.
Hey, let me tell you, we've got bigger concerns on the public sidewalks because they're so narrow you can't even go by there. Mm-hmm. And if you look at Chicken Ed's, you try to walk there too abreast, you can't do it. You know, there are concerns everywhere, but
my question was, do we want to say that they can't block the, is that a 4-foot sidewalk in front of Sun Medicine? Or?
That's probably not small. 3-foot. Very small.
But the one in Izzy Plaza is probably 6 feet?
There's 5 foot underneath it, I would think. Yeah. At least underneath it. In Izzy Plaza. It's about the same in your place. 5-6 foot under there, right?
Mm, it's more than 6 foot.
Mm-hmm.
It's probably 8 foot.
But I mean, this business we're talking about, the handicap ramp is full. You can't even walk up that handicap ramp, and he had to. That was mandatory that he had to do that when he did it under the building code.
Yeah.
What I've seen thought about when I went through these regulations is not so much the private property. I really didn't think about that coming into tonight. The buildings that are closer to the Route 1 sidewalk, you know, how treacherous side to sometimes walk up that sidewalk because people's sins are encroaching on it. And one of the things that came to my mind would be enforcement. How are you going to enforce this land between the right-of-way and the store and come up with your rationale for the permissible area? I was thinking along the lines of if you are a business owner and in that situation where your building is in proximity to the Del Dock right-of-way for a display, they have to give you a site plan, plot plan, location plan, whatever you want to call it, a simple drawing that certifies how much area they have of that permissible area and where it is in relationship to their building, that theoretical right-of-way line. You follow me there?
Oh, I'm following you.
So that a surveyor or engineer, they would have to hire maybe on a one-time basis, and you can keep it in their file for each business. This is your building's location in reference to the theoretical right-of-way line. Now we know where you are. Every time you want to put a display out there, or every season, whatever, you have to file with me this updated location plan, site plan, whatever you want to call it, so that we can verify where you are. I don't know if that's giving you a headache.
Yeah, let's keep. We need to make this easier to enforce.
Well, it's easier for enforcement.
That's what I'm saying.
The attorneys that I'm aware of, and one of the things that they put in there was public sidewalks. They didn't want private sidewalks.
Right.
Mm-hmm. So I said, leave it. Let's focus on the public area and not deal with a private sidewalk.
Yeah, but do you know where the public sidewalks really end and start?
Yeah.
You do?
Yeah.
All these businesses around here all know where their business property line is.
Okay.
Well, the only thing that I see that would be complicated about that would be if you try to enforce that on properties, especially along the coastal highway, it would be selective enforcement compared to somebody's front yard. For right away?
I mean, we've been accused of that too, selective enforcement, with the code that we have now.
So, is it...
What you have is...
Is it the consensus that we're not going to... No limitation in percentage, no limitation in area, no limitation on use of sidewalks on private property other than a clear path to
egress
and entrance and handicapped ramps, if they're handicapped ramps,
right.
Which is part of the egress. And
okay, I would be one that would be in that camp.
And in a manner that doesn't create a public or private nuisance. Is that where...
So you're saying that they're throwing out the 500.
Throughout the 500, throughout the 30%, throughout the restrictions on private sidewalks.
I'd like to see the 500 feet stay in there because I think 500 feet is
huge.
Plenty. That's a large area, I think.
I'm happy to keep 500. I'd be happy to keep 300. It's 500. Keep 500?
Well, when you do that, you don't accommodate a person's real estate advantage.
You do. I mean, five. There's
most people can't use 500.
Nobody's got 500 square feet.
Well,
nobody will be able to use the 500 square feet
except Jeremiah's, well, and except the corner buildings.
That might be the crux of the issue. That is, a person has a real estate advantage, and they're. Screwed down to the equivalent of a 30-foot frontage building, and like I said, I think if we wanted to address that would, in my experience, that would solve 85 or 90% of the issue, and with anybody in town. But the point is that if they have an attractive real estate, or if they have a real estate advantage, they can take advantage. They cannot take advantage of it under this law, and that's some issues that we have.
Well, I don't think what we see out here right now is very attractive.
Is what?
I don't think it's very attractive. All that stuff out there.
Well,
I don't think it's attractive at all.
Well, that's another issue. And then maybe,
so it needs to be limited somewhat, I believe.
The 500, if you eliminate 500 square feet, what limits are there? I mean, there's junk all over the building as it is, and if no limits, well, it's going to continue.
But if the displays are on the front and on the side, then they're, you know, we're taking advantage, we're giving the person the
advantage of their real estate advantage.
We're recognizing that, in fact, they have a real estate advantage. And maybe they pay twice as much for the property as somebody else who doesn't have that advantage. But maybe, you know, maybe there's a restriction. Maybe the restriction is 50% or something. I don't know how you...
I would not accept it without limits. We have to have some limits. Because whatever we put on you will be...
I agree that we gotta have some
limits. The limits come from the footprint that David described. That is your front, your setback from the frontage times your length, your frontage. So it's 8 times 30 or whatever your frontage is. And you know that's the limit on the front and the side. So it might be 1,000 square feet in some instances. And if you get to a 30-foot frontage like Babel is, you're probably down to, because their frontage, is 3 or 4 feet. 3 or 4 feet times 30 is 100 square feet. I mean, that's what the limitation would be. And I think that would be reasonable.
You realize the other businesses will probably sue the town.
Well, I mean.
So we're right back where we started.
We're not reducing anybody's advantage now. We're talking about relaxing.
No, just giving somebody else more.
Well, then somebody has to buy the multi-million-dollar building to get that advantage. But if you
sue the town, one or the other. Right?
Yeah, I would not be.
Marty, I'm having trouble understanding exactly what you're trying to say. I mean, the original code and the current code have this 500 square foot limit in it. We're relaxing it on most property owners going from 30% to something that's probably effectively 80 or 90% if they choose to use that. We're not relaxing. I mean, I believe that corner properties are the only properties that would be able to have to obtain 500 square feet in what is called here what private property frontage. And we're keeping that the same, so we're not relaxing it, but they're still over, they're still 500 square feet, whereas most of the others are building businesses are going to be limited to 100 or 200 square feet just by the nature of their property. So I could see keeping 500, getting rid of 30%.
Well, I guess I don't have the numbers in front of me. One of the things that would be an advantage is if we were to know what those setbacks were, and we were to have a table of values here. And I think what we would see is that there would be 6 or 8 businesses that would have maybe, you know, between a 300 and 400 square foot, or maybe 300, 450 square foot limit based on that size. And there'd be 1 or 2 businesses that are at the 1200 or 1400 square foot level. And if you eliminate their opportunity to take advantage of their advantageous real estate, then you have an issue.
Well, I think the issue is that Fruchman is happy with a 500 square foot.
Well, I'm not here to just be accommodating anybody that complains, but if that's. We understand a lot about what the issues are because the town spent 8 hours in mitigation with the federal judge up in Wilmington last year, and Megan was part of that. And if that's your understanding from working with Megan, I don't have any reason to change 500 square feet if that's not an issue. But I think the fundamental issue, if we were to solve it and give person an advantage of not only having the frontage on about one, but also a frontage on the corner side portion, I think we have a significant opportunity to allow this code to be in effect and people to become compliant with it, because I think that's the major issue, as I understand it. major objection is, you know, some of the complaints in the, I mean, there's other things that Mr. Mears brought up, for example, about consistency and uniformity of enforcement and so forth. And I think the town can address those by doing these things systematically and methodically. And you know, what's happened has happened, but we can, that's not an ordinance issue. That's just a procedural issue. That's how you implement this thing. And I think we can address a lot of those issues, or address them better. Maybe we're doing a good job, we can do a better job. But I think the code and the opportunity to give somebody that has an advantageous property an ability to enjoy some of that value that they have in that property in their displays, I think is what I think would go a long way to becoming acceptable through the whole community. I mean, everybody now. You know, I agree with everything that Jim said and so forth. In other words, you have an Exxon station that has, they must have, whatever, 150 square foot of frontage. And they keep their stuff on that little gravel pit. You know, I hate this, hate for that. I don't think they have an interest in really taking advantage of their full frontage because they're really a gas station. They want people to come in and be unobstructed as they get to the gas pumps and so forth. But you know that is a risk. But you know if they wanted to convert that gas station into a Sun merchandise store, and with the right permits, they could do that, and they could increase their display significantly, and maybe not allow a few cars to come in and park, but they would not allow cars to pull through for gas. But you know they prefer to keep it as a gas station, but. You know, it's an attractive property. I mean, it's because it's a corner lot, and it would be attractive for beach merchandising. But you know, they haven't so far wanted to, you know, make it exclusively beach merchandise. But that would be a possibility if we were to give people the advantage of the frontage and the side streets. You know, that would be the kind of thing that somebody would want to buy, maybe because it has that advantage.
I have a question. If you finish, Mark. I'm sorry, you finished?
Go ahead, I'm finished, yeah, thank you.
Okay. Bill, out of curiosity, how many screens, do we know roughly how much display is used by Jeremiah's, just so I can visualize it in my head, how much square footage Jeremiah uses for displays? Do we have any idea, just so I can get it?
He's got 90-some feet across the front.
Okay.
And he's got 100... I forget, 100 something down the side.
Okay.
So, my next question, everybody's talking about 500 square feet, that this has been brought up before, is it the 500 square feet of the height of the building times the length of the property, or is it 500 square feet, and what everybody's talking about is in the setback area, 30 feet this way, and you got 6 foot out, take the height into consideration too, what do you do? Where are these 500 square feet?
Okay, I'm just asking you.
Well, I'm just what I'm saying, and that's what the issue is right there.
Well, how many, what is he using right now, square footage, I guess, is what I'm asking.
I think it's the footage that Mr. Mears just talked about, but then it's the setback, and it's the 8 feet.
No, I'm simply asking how much square footage is he using for displays? Well, if you count the square footage of the displays, roughly what's he using?
All right, so if you take the whole length of...
Is he using every square inch?
Yes.
Yeah.
And the height. Using every square inch.
And the height and more.
Yeah.
Okay, so roughly... So he's using 50 by 90?
Yeah. Well, no. He's using 90 by the 12. Take that, times 12. And then if you're coming down this way, the 100 some by 12. He's using all that square footage.
Well, that's a lot of square footage. Right?
But that's not the footprint of the display. That's the...
That's exactly what I'm asking. Where are you going to say the 500 square feet? When you take the height and the length of it,
okay.
Well, the depth of it, that's been a question too.
So if...
I mean, my understanding... You know, I always assumed that this was just the projection onto the ground and had nothing to do with the 12-foot height.
Wow.
So that needs to be...
If you take Jeremiah's and you have an 8-foot setback, you have an opportunity for 1,600 square feet.
He's got six foot square,
on each six, core.
Okay, six foot. So then you have an opportunity for something like 1,200 square feet of display.
Okay. Yeah. That's where I was going, Maury. Thank you for simplifying it.
And
currently
he's restricted to 500 square feet.
I'm sorry, what?
And currently he's restricted to 500 square
feet. Well, actually, currently he's restricted to 400 square feet.
Okay, so.
Okay.
The 30%.
Oh, 30%, okay.
Does 500 square foot sound reasonable then?
No, I think 500 square feet is reasonable. I mean, he's part of that is his handicap ramp and entrance way. And
so you're saying if you were to look at somebody that has frontage of 90 by 106 foot setback and compare it to somebody that has 30 foot frontage and say 2 foot setback, and you list all these things, then from a real estate point of view, it's reasonable. That is, somebody that has favorable real estate has an advantage over the person that has not so favorable. In other words, you don't come up and all of a sudden get to the 500 limit, and there's two or three businesses that are limited, and everybody else is not limited. Would be an issue.
I think what David is saying is that most businesses are not going to be able to reach a 500 square foot display.
Mm-hmm. Well, I think what he said was that none of the businesses in town could reach 500 square feet,
other than Jeremiah's,
including Jeremiah's.
Well, I mean, they're limited by the current code, which is 30% of, you said, 1,200.
I think that's an issue. I mean, that's an issue now, how we want to deal with it, or whether we want to placate somebody is another question, but, you know, that's...
I think if we were to keep it at 500, get rid of the 30%, we relax the standards on many businesses. Significantly, we probably relax the standard on Jeremiah's somewhat, but we keep the 500 square foot limit where it's been since 2009. And I mean, it's been in the code, and that doesn't seem to be an issue of contention.
I think one of the big things here is we're talking about outdoor display of merchandise. We're not talking about
permanent.
Yeah, set up an outside store.
No.
So, you know, if you've got inner tubes. You only need to display one inner tube outside. You don't need 15 of them outside. So the whole section here is just dealing with outdoor display to get you to come inside.
Yep.
But is it being used that way, or is it really being used as an outside store?
Well,
that we move everything outdoors.
It's somewhere. It is an outdoor store. I mean, yes, it's displayed, but if a person comes up and goes, I want that, and they're going to take it from outside there, and then, of course, in the case of Babel's Beach Things, they have a newspaper out there and a rack, they can pick it up and they can go in. It's the sale has occurred out there. And in, well, east of Maui, of course, they have racks of clothes and boards and
right.
kayaks and things like that.
Okay.
That's being sold outside. That's an outdoor sale.
They pick it up and then go to the cash register and pay for it and leave the store.
David, I agree with most everything you've proposed, including the 500 feet.
Yeah, I do too, but I have one question. What about the parking area thing again? We haven't been, we've do you want to reduce that area because of the parking lot in front still, or are we talking about eliminating that as well? Because the only place that I can see that might be hurt from that with the part that we talked about as far as the displays within the footprint of the building, the only person I can see that can be hurt by that would be the stores in where Sun Medicine is. I don't know the name of that building there. Because they're not, their parking lot is everywhere out front there. They would effectively have no display.
Well, I think that, following Chuck's reasoning, they can't use the parking lot for their displays, but they can use their, we're not going to limit the use of their sidewalk other than providing egress to the store. Unless there's an issue of handicapped access, getting from the parking lot to the stores. There's a step up, I guess. I don't know.
Okay, so I'm looking at the
I don't know how that affects handicapped access and whether that's an issue or not. Well, Bill, do you know? Do you know, would there be a problem if we treated the sidewalk that goes, you know, in front of Wings and Sun Medicine as private and let Sun Medicine fill that basically with displays so that you could get from the parking lot to their store, but you couldn't
walk around
on that sidewalk, does that put us in, since there is a step up at there is a curb to the sidewalk, does that put us in violation of ADA by not letting somebody, you know, basically take a wheelchair from the public sidewalk?
See, there's no ADA compliant in that shop right, right now anyhow, because it's strictly grandfathered in the way it is.
Okay.
Now, if they change
then
anything in there, that's when you'd have to start with the new regulations.
So we would need to put some kind of a caveat in about, you know, provided that if they have to be ADA compliant, that they can't block even on
the ramp,
what would essentially be a common area ramp. Or
isn't that already written in?
Well, I think so.
It is.
I think it's already covered based on the handicap access.
Okay, jumping back to what I was saying, okay, it says here that in the calculation, reduced by the linear footage directly accessing
right.
the parking
lot. Right, and I think we're not going to reduce that. We're going to take that section out, and so that will...
Well, that covers just about everything I had.
I would like to add maybe... in 185.27.1 A, you know, I kept thinking how do, you know, we've taken away the town's approving displays, if Mike's okay with that.
I'll go along with the consensus not to keep pursuing it.
But I think we need to have something in here that says basically no outdoor display shall contain products, images, or words that would be offensive to the family-friendly resort environment sought by the town. Because once you put that in, and also include language that it shall not be a public or private nuisance,
yeah.
that gives the town the ability to come in and say this is offensive, this is a nuisance,
right.
You're in a violation of the code,
yeah.
And so
yeah, I haven't written that down.
So I think
I think it should be put in, but then you get into the rights of free speech. And,
that's what I was going to say. I know that. I remember when Rehoboth did this about T-shirts that were offensive,
yeah.
in the windows of the stores. You know, they had bad words on there, and I don't know how they got around it, but they did do something.
Well, when I first thinking about it, I started thinking, well, what could be objectionable? But then like you're saying, you know, it's freedom of speech, but adult entertainment, adult products, you know that.
Well, I think to the extent that we're permitting outdoor displays, I mean, you might not be able to, if somebody wants to put something offensive in their window, there's not much we can do,
right.
probably, but if they're putting it outside,
right.
And we're going to regulate outdoor displays, I think we could.
I don't see any reason why we shouldn't put it in, but I just think it's not going to stop somebody if they want to exercise their constitutional right to free speech. You know, we can get into that whole issue. But I have no objection putting it in.
I mean, I'm objectionable to beer pong, and I see inflatable beer pong tables. I mean,
I know.
The other question I had is Section C, which is sales benefiting nonprofit organizations. Could we just delete that?
Where do you see this?
Section E, it says sales benefiting non-profit organizations, outdoor sales by local resident non-profit organizations, whatever those are permitted provided the written documentation of charitable status and written permission from the property owner provided to the building official prior to the outdoor sale. I mean, I...
That doesn't need to be in there.
I will be glad to try and put something together. I think we're going to want to
since the mayor's
look
here,
at this again.
Well, Mary Hansen, what's the plan for tomorrow? The very first thing on the agenda is talking about this tomorrow night's meeting, correct? And so we are going to have a report to you sometime tomorrow via email to all the commissioners so they know what our...
It would be good if we could get a track change, a revised track changes version of what have you recommended so we can see where the changes work easily because the commissioners are only going to have, you know, a few hours to get ready.
I think that in terms of freedom of information, I think that these changes are substantive.
And I'm thinking myself, I know you planned this tonight so we could vote on it tomorrow, but I think it's going to get complicated enough for me not be able to.
I mean, I think we might want to take...
In reality, it's probably not going to make much difference for the season anyway.
Yeah.
I mean, they're doing what they're doing, they continue to do it until the lawsuit is settled, and then probably after that.
Right.
So what do you want us to do in preparation for tomorrow's meeting?
I think it'd be good for us to at least present it once tomorrow. And then have some time to think about it and vote on it in August. And I'm not speaking for all the commissioners. I'm just thinking in terms of keeping the public informed that probably between now and tomorrow's not enough to even keep the commissioners informed, let alone the public. So I think to have a first reading and some discussion, and maybe we would give you some guidance as to what we may or may not accept, and then probably then have to meet again, I hate to say it, but to finalize those, and hopefully it won't be quite so lengthy. But, my opinion, no one else's that I know of, but you know, I'm curious what the impact will be if you remove the 30% requirement. But what I don't want is what we have right now.
Right.
I just don't. It's just too much. And it's not becoming to the town at all. And so we need some limits. I don't know what the effect of the 30% loss would do. I might even go to 600 square feet. But what you got right now is just not accepted.
Do we need to go back and revisit before we walk away from here today what Bill Maris has brought up? Is how do we define
now,
this 500 feet?
Right, and I mean, I always thought this was the projection on the ground.
How do we
not
up with
volume?
12 feet?
And so not projection against
story.
The building.
Okay. Story.
I thought it was 10 feet per story.
You're talking about an area 10 foot by 50 foot. And
I don't know.
It's 500 square foot.
Right.
And it can go up to 12 foot.
That's still...
So we're not getting into cubic feet, we're getting into ground footage.
Ground footage.
Right. Okay, you're going to limit the height still at 12 feet?
Well, how did we ever come up with 12 feet, I guess?
That was something that was in this... months of display.
They decided 12 rather than 9 or 10 or 11 or...
Could we just say first story?
Well, that's what we tried to do.
And then they can't do it.
And, you know, because that's what I recommend, first floor.
Yeah.
Not above the first floor.
Because 12 foot...
Now, actually, it's 12 feet.
It could take you out of the commercial floor into a residential.
That's right.
Well, I think we decided that it can't be...
It can't go into a residential.
Can't room. Be in front of residential use.
I'm just trying to simplify so that there's no conflict in what he has to enforce.
Okay, so maybe what we ought to put in the 12-foot section, but not to go into a residential area. 12-foot max, but not... So in other words, if the residential area is 11 feet, they can only go to 11 feet.
Right.
Okay.
And if the residential area is 14 feet, they can still only go to 12.
Okay.
Or eliminate the footage and say all displays are limited to commercial area only.
Yeah.
Commercial area or commercial height?
Hmm?
commercial area or commercial height? I'm working with the word here. I'm right. Yeah.
Commercial area, not to exceed.
I will try and.
Yeah, to exceed.
I'll try and put some language together that
is clear and.
Yeah. Okay. Okay. So we have some consensus. I think we've reached. We've done all right. We need a motion, and I'm not sure how to go with that because there's such a broad changes to be changed to.
I think we're going to have to address this on the August 2nd meeting. You know, it could be short.
Hey, Aaron, what if you agreed upon tonight, and maybe what you could make is a motion for proposed changes, but that they would be just the first draft of it in some way. In other words, these are just the proposed changes we've agreed on so far. Something like that. I mean, if you feel you've agreed on something.
Hey, yeah, I don't think we've agreed. I think we've reached a consensus on the direction more than we've agreed. You know, I think we need to see this in writing.
Well, that may be. Then, well, maybe we just need to see it in writing, mm-hmm. and that's your initial recommendations. But I think probably members of the Planning Commission, as well as the Commission and the Commissioners, should want to look at some of these things and, you know, really analyze what would be the impact of some of these changes. But again, I'd ask one last thing, is what would be the impact if we remove the 30% requirement? Who would that affect? Other than Jeremiah's, would it affect any of the smaller businesses or not?
Well, it could put more displays out.
Yeah.
They don't have much room to put much more, do they?
Well, if it affected them at all, it would affect them in a positive way.
Right, and I think that might lessen their frustration. I mean, the other thing that concerns me about voting tomorrow is you had a public hearing, but no one showed up. You know, none of the businesses, even though it's Thursday night, so they can't say to you it's Friday night. They didn't show up, but what are they planning? You know,
they're more concerned with the settlement. Uh-huh. For some unknown reason. I don't know. I don't get
it. What you do will affect what settlement you do, if there is any.
Well, the businesses that I talked to today, they've been talking to me all week long, when they heard that there wasn't going to be any discussion about the settlement tonight, they weren't interested in coming. They're coming to you guys tomorrow night, so you
can
have...
That's the thing. I wonder what they're planning for tomorrow. You know, even though we don't really have a public hearing, but, you know, things always hit the bricks when it comes to the commissioners, and we need to have a public hearing.
That's only on signboard.
It's not a Friday night. I don't know. I'd look for your guidance on that.
Comment periods and so forth, and if they don't show up there, that's a opportunity that they lose. But you can't now just draw everything into the commissioners, and then they're doing all the work. I mean, that would be
unfortunately that's the way it usually ends up.
I know, but you can't promote that. And the fact that we had a two-hour meeting here and discussion, we had the press was here and some officials from town and people that are knowledgeable about these things.
Yeah.
That has been done. I mean, that's a significant. Something that the town should be able to build on.
Yeah, and it frustrates me that no one showed up, even though it was on the first day when it's not in.
Bill,
have you determined a minimum egress area into an establishment, or also
what does
if there are some ADA places here? They, you know, it's in that one section of the code. It says. Unimpeded public access, all portions of the public sidewalk, and it should be for, you know, egress to the building, and any ADA ramps should not be, you know, allowed to have displays only.
Can the town enforce the ADA requirements?
You know, that's a good question, because I asked the county if they do, and they said no.
Mm-hmm. So it's up to a handicapped individual to push the button on that.
Exactly right.
Mm-hmm.
So it's okay.
It's usually it's done by, there's a federal office, and the ADA has a federal compliance office that handles complaints. I know that personally from working in the courthouse.
Because, I mean, that's the first thing I said to the county. I said, they don't enforce it unless there's an issue.
Right.
So, so what's a standard commercial doorway? Is it 36 feet? Entranceway. An entranceway to a commercial building, is that 36-foot doorway?
Well, actually, you know...
36 inches.
36, yeah. 36-inch doors are the standard-sized doors, you know, for egress to a building. But the ADA is where you come into, whether it's a step or a lift
or
something like that. But it's 36 inches is the width.
So they would have to provide a 36-inch clear pathway into the store from public space.
Can I ask Bill one question? Bill, on the display sections now, do they have to remove them at the end of close of business each day?
That was what the was meant to, all displays and flags, you know, temporary flags were supposed to be removed.
Is that in the existing code?
Well, it was supposed to be, but
I couldn't find it, and I think we need to put that in the displays. Mm-hmm. This way...
Because that was what it was talked about, where people could take the flags and remove them at nighttime, where people would, they're worried about vandalism, and, you know, people walking into them at nighttime in terms of unlit areas and stuff like that.
So... If we add it, I would recommend that we add a section that all displays need to be removed at close of business. That might eliminate people putting ridiculous... I mean, they have to work to get them back in.
Okay, date and time of next meeting is going to be August the 2nd.
6:30 p.m. I move for your turn.
Sea level, microbreweries, and now
one night. You guys are insane.
Well, the microbreweries and the sea level rise are definitely been scheduled for that. Now, whether or not we include this in there for the August 2nd meeting, or we have another meeting, I don't know exactly what we're going to do.
And there's no chance to get a meeting between them.
Sure.
Or I guess even at the sea level rise might be a belief. I just think it's a lot to do all in one night.
I would agree.
Mm-hmm. So. Huh. It'll be a marathon meeting.
Do I hear a motion to adjourn?
I move we adjourn.
Well, let me just ask the question. Did we come to some vote or some position that allows you to make a presentation tomorrow evening?
No. We're going to present our draft, and then we'll meet again on this. So we didn't take him... We didn't take a vote because we haven't, you know, we made changes that we talked about, and now David is going to put them into writing, and then we'll look at it again, and then we will have our vote.
And if I could ask for, I mean, this is a lot to ask for, but if I could ask for a brief summary of where these significant changes that are made with consultation with Massavinas, I think one of the significant ones is the front and side. Are now allowed in the calculation, and that's not in the current code. I think that's very significant. There might be one or two other significant points that if we could bulletize those would be very important.
I will try and get together a summary of the changes for Harry for tomorrow. But
I think what Bill pointed out about ADA ramps is pretty significant, and I'm not sure that really got written into the notes that were taken for a draft. The idea that an ADA ramp is about 20 feet long, so even with Jeremiah's, if he's got 100 feet of frontage and there's 20 feet of that he can't use for display, that makes a big difference in what he's got out there.
But I think if you still have, 500 or 600 feet square feet limit, it won't matter because he has no other space,
wouldn't
there?
Mm-hmm. I like the limit of 500
square feet. I think covering that all displays cannot block handicap entrances. Right.
Yeah.
I mean, that covers it.
That covers
it. Yeah. Who's going to argue with that?
Quick thought, Jim, you said they should bring them in every night, and I agree with that. I think because the other issue is that it's a safety issue. You know, that we have a lot of wind and storms and these things can blow and, I don't know if it's true that one of the power outages we had was because of some debris hit a transformer. And a lot of our
customers had damage because of that outage.
That didn't have anything to do with display. It had to do with construction debris.
Right.
That was a problem.
You know, some of those wraps are pretty darn big, and if they took off and hit something, you know, they're rubber.
Yeah,
I think they're all in the same thing.
I know it would be very complicated, but I would like to see minimum requirements of how they can be affixed to a building.
Yeah.
Because you know, you've got basically kids who are running the store putting these things up every morning. And if you get a storm comes in the afternoon, people are running off the beach, things are blowing, and you know they duct tape them, however they attach them. But, you know, I know it's complicated to do, but...
You know, there's all kind of, well, displays, it's a whole different issue, but permanent structures, are the little, there is criteria for anchor bolts and cement, yeah. And I mean, you've got that, but all the
Let's be real, I mean, you've got people with decks and deck chairs that are the same danger as that, you know?
Well, not really, because you've got the homeowners taking responsibility for that.
Yeah.
There's a motion to adjourn.
Okay. It's been moved and seconded to adjourn. All in favor?
Aye.
Adjourn.
Okay, good. I'm glad. I am too.
Overwhelming public.
Let me see.